Hi, this is Chris Neal, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
From Studio 65 in a very soggy west end of the nation's capital, this is episode number 19, did I get that right, of the Sens Call-Ups for Sunday, May 7th, 2017. I'm Cardinal, Canuck and Pannon here again as well. This is another freeform episode. We wanted to get together to talk about the last three games, I guess it is.
Yep.
I don't have an intro written, so this is all going to be really...
Who cares? It's the playoffs.
Exactly. It's the playoffs, so we're just here, and that's that.
So no practice, just go.
Yeah. We're just doing it.
We don't practice. Yeah. Rest is a weapon.
Rest is a weapon, and I don't get enough weapons, let me tell you. I am happy to be back. I missed the last episode because I was away fishing, and I was still recovering from probably the most sick I've been in 15 years. Mm. It was a very, very nasty cold after, and I managed to lose 8 pounds, which for somebody of my stature is never a good idea.
It's okay. I found them.
But I am feeling much better, and I'm happy to be back in the studio, and we get to talk about a bunch of games. And I'm going to talk about the two you guys talked about just a little bit, because I have some fun stories about that weekend. Because, I mean, hey, it's just what's been going on lately. So, good to see you both. We're actually all in the same room for once.
Imagine that.
First in a little while, actually, that all three of us are here, because we've been doing a lot of... one of us has always been traveling. Don't do that.
I screwed up and punched myself in the arm.
Well, it was more the facial expression was, ooh, I could tell that hurt. I could tell that hurt. All right. Do we want to tell a few stories first? Do you want to get in and talk about games? I can tell stories later.
I get to use shampoo again. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you've got hair going on there.
Yeah. I haven't shaved since the playoffs started.
How does your employer think about that?
What?
What does your employer think about that?
They don't care. And even at that, because, well...
Now, is that trimmed?
Every time that I'm meeting clients, no, I haven't touched it.
That's actually pretty good.
There's so much on my neck.
I let that go out for a week here, and it's pretty straggly.
I've been going a little longer than that, but that's just because I felt like it.
I'm actually shaving and everything.
Oh, yeah, I am. Like the sides, for sure. I'm just letting my Van Dyke go.
But no, whenever meeting with clients or whatnot, they're just like, huh.
You look older.
Playoffs. Yeah, I look like 30 years older.
Get the like George Costanza look.
Well, that means they'll stop asking for ID.
And I just have so many. Yeah. I have so many hockey conversations every day now.
Well, that's better than having to find something to talk about.
And granted, every time that I go into work after a loss, everyone kind of walks on eggshells around. He's gonna lose his mind. It's like, fine.
I had it out with Liefert at work the other day. He was like, oh, I can't believe you're still cheering for that team. When was the last time you guys won a cup? And I looked at him and said, have they won one in your lifetime? Well, no, but I said, they haven't won one in mine. And I'm practically double your age.
Yeah.
But you're trying to lord the fact that your team has more cups than mine.
Since
the original six?
Right.
Nothing. When was the last time you made a conference final? When was the last time you made a Stanley Cup final? When was the last time you won a playoff series?
Yeah, but you guys don't have any cups with that franchise. It's just another one.
It's been 25 years.
If that's all you've got, buddy, if that's all you've got, give it a rest. He gave it a rest.
That's ridiculous.
Now, the last time, should I tell just a little story about last weekend? Now, the last time you guys recorded was last Sunday, and I had just got back from a weekend at the cottage.
Yeah.
So I was actually still recovering. To the point where I didn't actually drive up to the cottage that weekend. My fishing partner rented a car and drove because I just wasn't up to it. Mm-hmm. After a week's worth of work, I just couldn't do it. So they rented a car, they drove, which was wonderful. I've been driving this road for 7 years. I've never actually been a passenger on it before. So I got to look around. It was kind of nice.
Like, hey, neat, there's stuff there.
There's stuff I can look at here other than oncoming traffic. What a lovely idea. Two really quick stories. During the two games, the first game was Thursday night, the night we got up there, and I watched the first part of it in town, and then I watched the rest of it up at the cottage, because this is a cottage that actually has hydro and a satellite TV and so on. So we got to watch the game up there. It was great.
Nice.
The first one. The second one on the Saturday, it was a birthday party, so I was out cooking, and I figured I was timing the cooking to start at the end of the third period, and that didn't work out so well. So
nope.
I was barbecuing, and I barbecue with a stopwatch. I don't have to stand there and watch food. I close the lid, and I barbecue with a stopwatch. So I was running in and out. There aren't any commercial breaks. So I was like, okay, nothing happened. Please run out, check everything, come back in. So that was during the overtime. And it was now that game was only one overtime period, wasn't it? The Saturday? Or was that the two overtime game?
That was
two.
Yeah.
So I managed to get everything done during the intermission between the first and second overtime so I could actually watch the second
overtime. Were you making chicken parmesan there?
No, I wasn't making chicken parm. I was cooking actually pork tenderloin. And I had marinated one of them in jerk seasoning, one of them in a blueberry bourbon marinade, and one of them in just a whole bunch of spices and stuff. It was really good.
You must have had the jerk one because you are what you eat.
Team jerk. Yeah. But the Sunday, just before we get into hockey, the Sunday we were going to go fishing. I managed to get up to the lake on Friday, but we could only get up by four-wheeler because the road was too soft. And we almost marooned the four-wheeler in four-wheel drive at one point in the mud. So there's no way you could get a truck up there without really tearing up the road. Went fishing, had a little bit of fun just from the shore. The Sunday we were going to go fishing, but it was raining. It was about 4 degrees. And I was thinking, we're just going to be miserable. So let's do something else. Hopped in a pickup truck, but there were four of us, and went off to clear a couple of roads, not too far away from all the winter fall, because the road that we were the first truck down the roads in the spring. Everything else had been four wheelers and side by sides and sleds during the winter because it's all sled trails. We collected an entire pickup truck full of hardwood firewood. From just stuff that we were cutting up that it was lying across the road. It was all white birch and maple. Just clearing it off the road.
White.
And it was basically a cord and a half of wood.
How's the beaver dam story fit in here?
Now, well, the beaver dam story, I was just getting to that. On the road at one point, there's a beaver dam beside the road with a pond. And it's actually about 1.5 to 2 feet higher than the road. Well, the industrious little beavers decided their pond wasn't big enough. So they extended the dam across the road, like kind of in a bubble shape. So they went across the road and then back across the road again as they're trying to extend it.
Kind of like how Hong Kong works?
Vaguely, yeah. I suppose. and the problem is it's kind of in the way. So everybody is just driving over the dam trying to wreck it. Now, four-wheelers, side-by-sides, they were actually stopping on it and then gunning it to try and spin their wheels to tear the dam up. And it wasn't working very well. But if you do that in a half-ton truck with a cord of wood in the back, it works really well. The problem is that it's probably going to be built back up in a week or so. So we might have to blow it up.
Do the beavers just kind of come out and shake their fists at you?
Pretty much. So we might have to blow it up, which is if you don't know how
to. Cartoon beaver doing that.
Yeah.
Little tail flapping at you.
If you don't know how to blow up a beaver dam, it's a propane tank and a rifle.
Oh, wow. So just a reminder, you're listening to a hockey podcast. Yeah. Well,
that was my last weekend. It was a lot of fun. A good time.
Pete is going to be all over us now.
Yeah. But whatever, they can't prove a thing. Anyway, we do have those. So between the two, those are my experiences of game one and game two. So it was a lot of fun. So we want to get into games 3, 4, and 5.
We will. How do people reach us before you get going?
Oh, yeah. So a little housekeeping. Thank you. This is what happens when I don't write anything down. podcast@sendscallups.com is our email address. You can reach us in the forums as well at podcast@sendscallups.com. Ongoing game threads through the playoffs. Or you can call the Versature waiver wire at 1-844-SCU-6565. Did I miss anything?
I think it's sendscallups.com is the website.
What did I say?
Or forum.send. You said podcast. But Google us.
Email.
You'll find us.
I was going to say, just sendscallups.com. You can find everything there, including the email address and how to find different places you can stream or download the podcast.
Email the show.
Yeah. Sure.
We got lots of that today.
We do. So it's going to be good content. Let's go.
Game on. It was.
finally looked up what the lyrics of that was.
And?
I guess got my head checked?
Checked.
By a jumbo jet.
Ah, okay.
That was the line I could never figure out.
You know what the whole reason was for that song, eh?
They just need another song for the track, for the album?
Yeah.
B-side?
I guess the label is just like, well, you need another track. Like, fine. And they just got back into the studio and pulled this.
One of the biggest hits
Shut
ever.
Up. Yeah, I know. The most mainstream hits.
Yeah.
They're a big band, but most... Absolutely most mainstream.
Absolutely. All right. Game summaries. Over to you.
Me?
I don't have any notes for this.
Well, so we covered game one and game two.
Yes.
What happened next is we're heading to New York for
New
game
York
three.
City.
Game four, up 2-0.
La Grande
probably on us talking forward, eh?
Yeah. This is the Big Apple, not just the one near Coburg.
That's right.
Local reference. Actually, distant local reference there.
Right.
For people who don't understand.
Do we really want to talk much about game three and game four?
A little bit. I don't remember much of it.
Game three.
I don't really want to remember much of it. Both games, we got owned.
Yeah. Mika Zibanejad looked great in game three. That's my one
three
take
or four? Okay.
That was game three. Game four was just us not being able to get into the zone.
We got absolutely owned in game three.
Yep.
And, you know, after the game, you think, okay, it happens, right? We've never done that to the opposition in the series so far, but it happens, right?
Sure.
At the end of the day, we're up 2-1. They were desperate. You get it. But then you go into game four and you think, surely, how can you not be ready knowing what just happened? And they pull the same thing. They were just outclassed, outshot, outgunned,
outworked.
Outskilled.
Manhandled?
No, not manhandled. They're outskilled.
If you don't want to use manhandled, I will use the word intimidated.
I don't know what it was, but they were clearly just, they couldn't do anything. And I think you actually saw like the shot charts.
I honestly think it's last change.
All the shot charts are showing like kind of like the heat zones. You could see like Rangers are getting in there and getting the shots in really close to Anderson and obviously capitalizing on them. And the Senators were being held to the perimeter. Whatever it was, they just were not up for the Big Apple. Both games. And I get New York was desperate. Of course they're desperate. I mean, at what point is this coaching?
Oh, it's coaching.
And I'm not throwing Guy Boucher under the bus in the sense that I can't stand him. I'm just saying, but in those scenarios, you know, you should have seen this coming. Had no answer. You had no response.
No, but it depends how versatile your team is. Because looking at it from LA Vigneault's point of view, they lost two games against Montreal to start their series and they adjusted.
That's true.
And the team is versatile enough that they can adjust.
They broke the system, it seemed like.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
Yeah, and they adjusted their game plan.
Bora was out, so you didn't have that same kind of demanding hit on the left-hand side. They adjusted.
Very true. Yeah. Well, they took advantage of it, I would say. Not just adjusted. They took advantage of the fact that that wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Tanner Glass drew in, and that actually made National Hockey League headlines. Like, that was a storyline, the fact that Tanner Glass drew in.
Energy guy.
Are we?
And he played like 45 games in the AHL this year.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I honestly just think it was the versatility of things. After game two, because yes, we won and it was great and fun and exciting. But at the end of it, you enjoy it, right?
Yes, I did. I think half a bottle of rye.
I think at 1.2, I was also just deciding to look at other vacation options. But we did that again yesterday too, which we'll touch on. But that's what do I want to say with that?
No,
you don't want to change. Or Guy Boucher didn't want to change a winning lineup.
And I get it. Fair
Five enough. Goals against. You may want to tweak something because some guys looked like they were not great.
Well, there were changes for game four, were there not?
No.
Was it game four?
Game three?
I think Pyatt drew in for game four, didn't he?
Yeah. Because we lost game three. I'm talking for game three.
Oh, okay.
No changes were made and they did not look that great. It's five goals against. They should have made some of the adjustments like Pyatt, and I think that.
One of Clayson or Harper was out for game four and Weidman was in.
They did a swap there, yeah.
Yeah, and for then, game four.
And then they switched. Yeah, Clayson was out for game four. Harper stayed in. Weidman was in. And then for game five, Harper was out. Clayson was out. Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right. Minor tweaks, anyway.
Minor tweaks. Yeah. Well.
And in game four, I know we're kind of mashing them together, but I think that's pretty much where Sens fans are at. In the third period, not only did they pull Anderson out, whatever, the game was out of hand.
Yep.
Rest him. Do something to spark the team. I'm perfectly fine with that. But Carlson did not come back and play the third period. Yeah. At this point, it felt like the momentum completely had shifted to New York. And at this point, I'm thinking, if Carlson's out, this could be it.
Well, he said after the game that he could have played, but he decided not to.
But you never know.
They can all play.
You never know what,
well, same
what
with, they're saying. I think it was more like a Craig Anderson thing. Yeah, rest him.
Yeah.
Rest him.
And I honestly think they probably would have done the same thing in game three, except Pageau scored with like a minute left in the second.
Trying to remember which game
it was. It was 4-0 at the time.
Quick, where can I order chicken parm in Manhattan?
Get delivered. It was 4-0, I think, or 3-0. I can't remember.
And the worst thing too is that all the fans.
It was 3-0. Sorry, and then we scored to make it 3-1.
Yes,
all the fans, including radio hosts, were going on that whole chicken parm thing that Pageau had. So everybody's eating these chicken parms.
I'm just sitting there, guys, don't believe me, don't.
Well, I like them, but.
Eating two of them.
Well, yeah, that's going a bit far. Yeah. That's like eating an entire large pizza. It's a
diabetes is now trending in Ottawa.
I'm not the only one anymore.
If you have a big salad.
Yeah, didn't you? Well,
the big salad. Sorry, that's an obscure Seinfeld reference. Yeah,
we lost
there.
That game badly.
So 3 and 4 happened, and do we want to talk anymore on those games?
No.
We're just going to get to the good one.
Get to the good one.
I'm going to set this one up because, well, you mean Pan has tickets to go. I actually have tickets to go, but at this point, I think I was with my kids, so I wasn't able to use my pair. I sold my pair off.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, do I want to go? It's expensive. I think New York probably has the series right now.
I don't know how he convinced you to do that.
Well, no, what it was is...
Well, I definitely don't help in these situations.
You don't help. you helped a bit, but you weren't...
You're the voice on the left shoulder, not the voice on the right shoulder.
To be honest, you were about in the middle. You weren't as pulling as you thought. But what I came down to is, you know what? This could be it. This could be the last game of the season, the last home game. I won't be able to see them again till October. I'm going to go. I'm going to buy 3 tickets, take my kids. I'm just going to go and I might be watching a swan song and I'll be in that mental state and I'll just enjoy it for what it is. And if they win, of course, it's going to be amazing.
So you sold your tickets and then you bought tickets?
Yeah, you needed 3.
I needed 3 and I had 2. So. Right.
Okay.
So, you know, long story short, I got there.
Excellent.
So that was my frame of mind. I went there kind of expecting and kind of preparing myself for a swan song.
Oh, fair enough.
Always hoping for better, of course, but you know, so normally I'm freaking nervous in these games. And this time I just kind of felt, you know what? I'm okay.
Whatever happens, I'm okay. Fair enough.
It was weird.
So the first 10 minutes or so, you were like, yeah, okay, this is what I thought was going to happen.
So yeah, they go quickly down. They go quickly down 2-0. I thought, wow. Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be bad.
This is it, isn't it? But
now there's only one day off between these two games, right?
One full day. It was less than 20.
Thank God. I could not deal with any more talk radio. I think I was getting ready to leave work.
It's hard when they lose, isn't it? I avoided talk radio all week.
But yeah, and I saw Ian tweet out. It's like, well, we're just going to open up the phone lines and make this as interactive as possible.
Translation, we don't want to write
content. No, thank you.
We don't want to write content. We'll just let you people vent.
No, it's not that. I think he's just trying to.
No, yeah, he's making it interactive.
But when they are up 2-0, like I was. Binge. I had, you know, you can subscribe to the radio shows as podcasts and just listen to them. I was listening to everything while I'm away in Halifax and it was Moncton last week, you know, just listening all the time. But of course, once they start losing, I don't want to hear about it.
Well, I was going to say,
yeah, talk radio is great after a win.
Yes, because there are
everybody's in good mood.
I was going to say, talk radio is worse than Twitter when it comes to being a cesspool of negativity for a very vocal group that seems to be the one that is the majority of the people who call into the radio shows. As some groups that click together.
Irish Tommy.
They had to cut him off.
Yeah.
Thank you, 7-second delay. Apparently he dropped an F-bomb.
When you complain, you tell 10 people. When you make a compliment,
it's human nature.
One.
It's human nature. Same thing with reviews of hotels and stuff. And, you know, you're going to get, it's more easy to get feedback on a negative thing than a positive thing.
Yep. Fair enough. You know,
the big talking point of the day, though, was our intro to this episode, Chris Neal.
Yes.
That was the big thing. Chris Neal took the warm-up and indeed played the game.
Indeed, which is...
And there was quite a lot of frenzy on social media, which is, I mean, pretty much the easiest place to look for live feedback before an event like this. And then on talk radio a bit, too. I think even Russell, you know, chimed in, said that they should dress Chris Neal.
After the conversation he and I had had earlier this week, where we were both saying that.
So
And
I think
he got into a long conversation with me.
And I think Sens fans were quite split. And not just just split, like, you know, kind of, well, I don't know. I mean, they were very polarized on this.
Yes.
Very. It's like, no. And I kind of understood both sides. And I found myself kind of doing this and back. And eventually in the end, I kind of leaned to, I wouldn't mind seeing him in. But that was also, at this point, I'm in my frame of mind of, I'm going in to see a swan song. This might be it. I want to see him.
You want to see him because it may be the last time he plays in the Sens uniform.
And, you know... You know, I don't think we need to hash this. I don't think everybody knows why Chris Neal was polarizing, because he's not a goal scorer. The problem was they're not keeping up with their speed, and, you know, he's probably going to play a couple minutes a game. Turns out they played 226, and, you know, especially the statistics community can't stand that. Yeah. And whereas, you know, you have the other side where it's okay, he brings something intangible, the intensity. He's going to stand up if anyone's getting pushed over. He'll be on there to respond. We need that. And that's where they're at. Now, at the end of the day, they won the game. Chris Neal is in there. So,
and the thing that I noticed,
I noticed a few things too, but go ahead.
I only got to see the third period of last night's game. And I admit, the third period in overtime is the only parts in the game that I got to see. So they were down when I was watching the game. No, I guess they were still up. It was 3-2 after two, wasn't it? Or was it 3-all?
It was 2-1. Chris Neal took a penalty. And they scored two goals, and he never played since.
Okay, but at the beginning of the third period, was it 3-all or was it still?
It was 3-3 at the beginning of the third.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the thing that I noticed through the third period that I hadn't seen in my brief exposures to games 3 and 4, which I didn't see a lot of, and I admit this freely, the thing that I noticed was that for the first time, seemingly, in three games, Senators forwards in the offensive zone, as a whole, we're finishing checks.
Yep.
I saw Mike Hoffman rub somebody out hard.
Yep.
Split him from the puck and go and get it. And I had not seen that. I hadn't. And that's what was frustrating me, was that when I say the Senators got manhandled in 3 and 4, when I say manhandled, they did not respond. They were getting smashed up, and they didn't respond by other people by smashing them up back. They were getting cowed.
Yeah.
They were intimidated.
Yep.
They were scared to go and do that. And that's what was frustrating me. And that is why I wanted Chris Neal in the game. Because even if he didn't actually do it, you know that he will finish a check given the opportunity. And that also means that New York knows that.
And that seemed to be what coaches agree with too. And he would put him in.
Exactly.
Now, you get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of Chris Neal.
All in one game, because that's what usually happens.
Because sure enough, at one point in the second period, well, first off, I'll kind of play it out as it happens. So Chris Neal, he came on the ice. He came to a roaring cheer that he came on. People around me were cheering Chris Neal. They were very excited to see him come on the ice. And, you know what, say what you want about the guy, but just the pure heart and energy he brought. He's playing his only game he can play at this point, and you could see it. Like, he was dominant on the ice. Now, he's a walking penalty machine, but, you know, luckily in the playoffs, they put their whistle away a little bit. But you really saw it, like, holy crap. Like, I mean, that is a shift. Like, this is a swan song shift, is the way I looked at it. But in, I think it was in the second period at this point, maybe, or late in the first, where we were about to get a power play, and he just come over and clobbered Glass. He was trying to fight Glass all along, wouldn't go. And at a certain point, he just went over and tackled Glass. I think Glass goaded him into it, maybe. But the point is, he went and got him, and he neutralized the penalty. And of course, that, to the fans who don't want Chris Neal playing, I mean, that just goes to prove. And Chris Neal did it all season when he played, is neutralized penalties like that. That, I thought, was frustrating. However, the players didn't mind at all.
Well, because they know how bad our power play is.
Again, they're not
well, not just that, but
you don't talk bad about your teammates, especially to the media.
True. The point me and me about Chris Neal, and I think even Stooley mentioned, I thought he this is what I was thinking. He worded it quite well. He's like the bigger brother, or he's like your tough brother who's standing behind you in a fight just to make sure the fight's fair. Because if the other guy starts taking advantage, he'll step in. He never played. He only played 2 minutes and 26, which goes to show you that the only reason he played was for that kind of role. If the team wants to do that, if that works, fine. But that's all he is.
But that's
he's,
fine.
He's the nuclear deterrent, I guess, now.
Well, and
the trouble is that we, you know, I think the league is moving away from that. However,
well, it worked. During the regular season before Boro got hurt, we had an alternative for that. And with Boro not playing.
Right. Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't see if Borowiecki was playing.
I don't think we would have seen Chris Neal. But I don't think games 3 and 4 would have been quite so much of a.
No, I thought this was Burrows' factor. I thought Burrows would be able to do this kind of stuff.
This is what Burrows is supposed to do.
Well, he's supposed to be an agitator for sure. And he hasn't, I admit, I've been.
Done nothing.
Through both series, he hasn't really been agitatory. That's a bad English. But like he isn't stirring anything up. He's not annoying anybody. He's not agitating. He's adequate. He's not doing anything spectacular. Like he's not a liability.
He's a third line player.
Yeah, he's not a liability, but he's not.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's not bringing what we expect, or at least I shouldn't say we.
Dorion said it. Dorion said it, what his expectations were, and we're not seeing any of it.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate.
Now, to the point
where you have to take another off. Granted, I'd prefer Wingles over Dzingel in these games anyways, but you have to take somebody else out who can play.
Is that who sat for Chris Neal? Dzingel? I wasn't sure if it was
Dzingel. Yeah, it was Dzingel.
Okay.
But Dzingel was out and Wingles was out.
Because Wingles was out for Pyatt.
So now because, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which even in that, Wingles played well in game two. Now, because Burrows isn't doing his job, and really, I don't know how these guys can't self-motivate, because, as you mentioned, you only saw the third period, but it's not that Chris Neal started the game and threw hits. Every other line went first, and they were all hitting.
Yep. But
maybe it was simply a matter of inspiration then. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe.
Going forward, this is going to be an issue.
Right.
Because you're not going to have Chris Neal anymore.
Well, probably not.
You're not going to.
Tuesday.
Next year's going forward.
No, but you may have somebody
else. So now Burrows isn't doing what he's supposed to do, which means that Wingles has to come out for somebody else who played 2 minutes, and then everybody else has to pick up the slack. Where in reality, and we got caught with this in one of the Boston series, where Boucher wouldn't play Chris Kelly in the overtime.
All right.
And that one went to double overtime, so everybody looked gassed.
That's my concern.
Cuz now you're eating up a lot more minutes during the game.
Right.
Because Neal's not playing after
That's just the thing.
Middle of the second.
If you're telling me having Neal on the bench for 57 and a half game, you feel gives you a better chance to win, fine, but when these games start going to overtime and double overtime, you're taking a risk here.
Yeah, but if it does go to double overtime or whatever, you could also put him out there because he's not as tired. Could have, didn't.
If you're willing to play him, but for some reason,
again, we never know. But and he didn't do it with Chris Kelly.
No, but he could. I mean, he could have. He just didn't because we didn't go very deep in overtime in that.
There was one that went double. I think that we lost.
But I mean, in the game yesterday, we didn't go that deep into overtime. So
yeah, so these are storylines that didn't happen.
I'm still fine with it. I will put myself on record, but I'm just fine with it. Because I think
it's not a big move.
It didn't hurt. And I think that just by what I saw in the game.
We're not talking about a goalie changer, folks.
It seemed to inspire something, inspired the rest of the team to start doing that, which they were not doing in games 3 and 4.
Yep.
Chris Neal was their Big Mac meal.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. So he's a chicken parm?
He's
a
Big Mac.
Or chicken. You burgers feel better doing this and having this guy there? Fine, I guess.
Sure.
So getting back to the game.
Mm-hmm.
We're down to nothing. Mark Stone squeaks in that beauty.
That looks like a garbage goal, but after I saw the replay, wow.
Yes.
Stick-with-itness.
Yeah.
And then, I can't remember, I think, beauty pass from Carlson to MacArthur, slap pass to Hoffman to score, tied up at 2.
That was pretty.
And then less than, 30 seconds later?
Yep.
A fluke, kind of nice little tip in through the legs of
Everyone's
Lundqvist.
Favorite, Tom Pyatt.
Tom Pyatt.
That was a bad goal for him to let go. And even that, like,
he had someone in front of him. And he had Tom Pyatt redirect it right through his legs. It looked bad.
And even the Rangers' second goal was, the turnover was caused because Chris Neal was trying to fight Tanner Glass. It was created a whole bunch of confusion at the net, and then the Rangers broke out with it.
I thought that was one Anderson would like to get
Anderson
back.
Should have had it.
But
Anderson should have had it. But
we could say that about Lundqvist a lot in this game too.
Yeah. Well, both goalies had some really spectacular.
They're just like roller coasters. Yeah. Amazing saves followed by like letdowns.
Well, the third period was the period where the tying goal for New York was the one that everybody thought Anderson had made the save of the series, and it ended up that his glove
was a go-ahead goal.
It was a go-ahead goal.
No, that's a fourth. Yeah.
That was a go-ahead goal, right? His glove was just across the line.
Yeah.
And then the tying goal with a minute left, was that the one that was...
Went off three
different
Rangers, including Lundqvist.
It was a kicking motion, but it went off three Rangers, so it counted.
Unbelievable.
And then the overtime goal was just off... Lundqvist was lunging back with his glove and just missed it. Was that the one?
No, the overtime goal. Turris tried to redo his shot from the 2004 series.
Oh, that's right.
Or sorry, 2014 or 12. 2012 series. Missed it because the defenseman it went off his feet and got the rebound. And put it right between his legs. Looked like a weak goal, but it was probably just a surprise.
It was. Yeah, that's right. That was a 5-hole goal too.
I've watched these highlights probably about 10 times each. Just amazing.
Well, it was fun watching it last night. It was
And when they're at 3-3, you know, because this is the first year I've ever brought my kids to a playoff game. Mm. And unfortunately, the first game they went to was game one against Boston. Fantastic atmosphere, but they lost the game. And it's just such a different experience leaving a loss than a win in playoffs.
Ever. It's huge.
Is it huge. Ever, right?
Is it ever. And as they were tied 3-3, I thought, oh, please, you know, I'll give up the series. I'd really like
to
experience.
Do it for the children.
Somebody think of the children. And then, of course, that crazy goal that put him ahead. You think this is it. It's just like, do you have one more miracle, guys?
And I texted you, like, series.
That was probably the series.
It did
right
feel
there.
Like it.
I think I even put a tweet out there. Do we have just one more miracle here, Sen? And sure enough.
Yeah. On Brassard jumping off the bench as Anderson comes to the bench, goes in.
Straight in.
Boom.
Off him.
It was
incredible.
Because nobody picked him up because everybody was covering the other five.
And it was a pinball machine goal in there.
Yeah. It was
off Tanner Glass, the first one.
You can't predict that happened, but it just worked. And I mean, of all the people to get that goal, Brassard was like, okay, I'm glad for him. I'm really glad for him because
he needed it.
Yeah. And it worked. So I'm okay with it.
And then in overtime, before the winning goal, New York scored.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And immediately it's like, oh, that's it. That was it. But I did notice Brassard immediately kind of making gestures for a high stick.
I noticed the ref first.
Well, the ref raped it off.
I didn't see the ref immediately.
He was on the replays, it off right
I saw
away.
It. But I definitely had that feeling like, oh no, that was it.
I was like, it's in. No, wait, he's waving it off. I was like, oh no, it's in. No, he's waving it off.
But when they go to replay, like under review, you just never know anymore.
Exactly. Oh, well, because the one that was under review that ended up with Anderson's glove just across the line for the go-ahead goal. Everybody at the time thought that was the most spectacular save ever.
Everybody in the arena did. The referee waved
on
it
TV
off.
On TV they did.
We were chanting Andy.
Until we saw the overhead view, I was like, oh, yeah, that's in.
He did make the save. It was an amazing save. It was over the line.
Just a bit.
So he didn't make the save.
Wow. Semantics here. Technically speaking, he didn't, but he did. And I'm going with he did.
Sure. He did. It was just a little bit.
Luckily, I only shot myself in the leg and not the heart.
That's right.
Wow. Meanwhile, you were being the voice of reason a couple of days ago.
What the hell, eh?
Well, I was kind of baiting you.
Oh, were you? Okay.
It's like, come on, needle. Come on, react.
I don't remember what we were talking about. My computer just died again.
It's probably because you're jiggling the thing all the time when you talk.
Yes, you should put your power cable this way.
No, not the power cable. I mean, just the electronics between the screen and your computer.
Oh. Yeah, don't use it as an armrest.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just put it this way.
That's fine.
Okay, never mind.
But
that was really interesting.
Audio podcast.
Because what were we even talking about there?
Just everything. You keep thinking I'm being grumpy, and really it's like, no, I'm actually pretty good.
It's being grumpy.
We got a bunch of emails.
Because I'm like, oh no, well, that was a big piece of it too. It's just like, guys, it's like at the start of the year, if we'd say that we go out in the second round to the Rangers in six games, you'd be happy with that.
Yeah, but now that we're here, we want more.
And then you're just like losing four straight to the Rangers.
Well, you said
an embarrassment.
Well, you said, oh, I don't want to get pounded by the Penguins. I'm like, yeah, but losing four straight to the Rangers isn't great either.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway.
I got pounded in four by the Penguins.
I'd still rather make it to the third round.
Yep.
Still rather make it to the third round.
Give me the revenue.
So on to game six.
I just want to be there. I just want to go to the third round. Like going to a conference championship. That's a good feeling.
Yep.
It is.
And anything can happen.
It won't, but
anything can happen. Anything can happen. We got email to read. Who wants to read the first one's from Chad, I believe. From Monday. Who wants to read that one?
Oh my gosh, we're going back into some pain points, aren't we?
We are. We'll be going over. We're going to be rehashing some pain points. Fortunately, we have some lovely Hops and Bolts, an Indian Pale Lager.
All right, I'll read Chad's email, and can you beer me while I'm?
Absolutely, I shall.
Stella,
fellas, email from Chad. Couple thoughts here. First of all, the goal in Game One by Carlson was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. The fact that a defenseman was shooting the puck from across the goal line at an impossible angle was making my head spin. Yep. But of course, it's Carlson and it goes in. Insane. Now on to game two. And Pajot. I watched that game from my office as we had a playoff game that evening. And he worked for the Lone Star Brahmins, meaning they had a playoff game. I was getting ready for that. I honestly walked away from the game pissed off when it was 5-3 Rangers. I came back to the office later and the broadcast was still on at intermission report. I was like, intermission? We come back? 5-5. Holy moly, buckle up. Here we go. Small crowd of our media department. They filled in his office. We all watched the greatest overtime goal scored by Pajot. It was such an exciting playoff moment to go up 2-0 on the Rangers. That was just awesome. Best part of the day was once the doors had opened up for the Brahmas playoff game and people started filing in, the man headed to the balcony, walked by my office, and propped his head in, asking, "Hey, did you catch the final of that Rangers game? I left and went to OT." He had an old Rangers jersey on. I looked at him in the eye, took a sip of my coffee from my Sen's House coffee cup, and said, "Your Rangers are now trailing 2-0 in the series."
Solid. Nice.
That's like a Lumberg move, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to go ahead and be down 2-0.
Right. Anywho, I've been busy and haven't had a chance to say hello. Keep it up. Go Sens, go Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
Excellent. Excellent. Love it. The next one's from Zach. Who wants to read that one?
I can read that.
Okay.
It's nice and quick. So, expansion draft. What do you guys think if the Sens left Bobby Ryan unprotected this expansion draft? If Las Vegas were to draft him, would you be happy, annoyed, sad? And if this were to happen, what would be the benefits and costs be of this?
I believe they're leaving him unprotected. That would be my guess. And yeah. I'm fine if he goes.
I'd be very, very surprised if Vegas chose him.
Yep.
Very. I'm staggered, actually.
It's going to be Dzingel or Weidman.
Yeah, that's what it depends on how they design their team. I would say those are the two that they'd be most likely.
Not CC Mathot?
So I think CC will be protected, won't he?
Well, one or CC Mathot probably can't be protected unless there's
a move made or you can convince Phaneuf to waive his.
Yeah. Right.
Which seems more and more unlikely.
I don't think he's going to.
Where the team is right now and how we're performing, we need Mathot way more than we need Cody CC.
Right now, yes. Right now,
yeah. Well, I think the problem is we don't have another right shot defenseman.
Don't worry about it.
Well, we don't have one in the system, is what I'm saying.
Don't worry about it.
Why?
You can sign one.
You can. I mean, I think the team would protect CC and leave Mathot exposed.
Well, you're losing him.
If they do that, they're going to have a side deal.
Well, if you're Vegas, do you really want to pick up a third? How old is Mathot? 30 or 31?
30.
30.
Yes.
Yes.
He's number one.
Then you trade him.
No.
He's number one. Ottawa.
You can't trade him back to Ottawa.
That's right. You can't trade him back. You can't trade him back to the team he gets picked away from.
Until January. They're going to pick 9 Mathots. They're picking 9 Mathots.
You don't think they want to go younger than that?
No, it's assets. They're grabbing assets.
Oh, I see. I see where you're going. And then they might trade them away. Some of their assets.
Lots of trades.
You have two choices. You draft a team or you draft or collect assets.
Well, you draft 22 worth of team and 8 extra assets, for want of a better term.
Granted, they signed this Russian guy for $4.5 million over 2 years.
Yeah.
Per year for 2 years.
I saw that the other day.
They're the top KHL players.
To get back to Zach's question, though, I think we all agree that probably they're going to leave Bobby Ryan exposed.
Yeah.
As despite his, you know, better playoffs, I don't see
Vegas picking him.
Only reason Vegas picks him is to get to the floor.
Yeah.
However, there is a factor brought up here that in the U.S., we don't deal with this here. In the U.S., there's a need or a common desire to market a U.S. player.
We don't deal with that here?
We deal with...
How many local players do we have?
Yeah.
Peugeot, Mathot,
no, but we don't deal with the U.S. thing. We deal with maybe a Canadian thing. But yeah. So having Bobby Ryan being a number two draft pick... in the first round, you know, maybe that's a marketing story, but I think they have other assets.
Or you can also market a Ryan Dzingel or a Chris Weidman.
Or you could take Bobby Ryan and trade him to Philadelphia.
But you see what I mean?
So that's the other thing that I'm thinking is, or do you sell high on Bobby Ryan?
I think you just sell high.
Who selling high?
Well, you mean to trade him
away? Pierre Dorion, yeah, if you sell high. Because he's looked so frigging great.
And but he has a no-movement clause, doesn't he, Ryan?
He'll go to Philly.
Uh-huh.
He'll go to Philly.
Philly's got a number. Did Philadelphia win the draft lottery or are they number two?
Number two behind Jersey.
Jersey's number one.
No way
right.
Are they going to take the pick on that. Not that I want it anyways.
Ryan for the number two overall draft pick?
No. They won't do that. And I don't think
they would.
Anymore.
No. I was going to say, if they would, yeah, I'd take it.
Local boy for local boy?
Who? What?
Claude Giroux.
Oh yeah, I'd make that trade. Oh, let's put Peugeot and Claude Giroux back together. They look great as Olympique. Why not?
Right.
They did too. It was fun. Yeah, I'd make that trade. I don't see Philadelphia making that trade. But
I'd even take Bobby Ryan for Wayne. I love Wayne Simmonds though, but I'd even do that deal. Just to save on money in term.
How old is he?
It's just not 5 years left.
Yeah, true. I mean I like him.
And,
I'm just not
Wayne
sure what he
Simmonds
is
a great player.
Yeah. Good heart. Good. I actually do genuinely like Wayne Simmonds as a hockey player. I do. He's got a lot of Bob Gainey in him. Mm-hmm. And Bob Gainey being my favorite hockey player of all time. He is, truly.
Next email.
Should I read one? From next one's CB Inc?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I see why you want me to read that. Nice. This is from CB Inc. Hey, guys, the Sens just won Game 5. What a thrill a minute. I watched as much of the game as I could while at work, and the rest, the final 8 minutes of the third, when I got home. But I bet you already talked about that game, so there's no need to go over it here. Fair enough. Canuck, come on, 30 more points? Folks, that's a reference to the hockey pool in the playoff pool in the forums. Forums at Sens College.
Carlson quietly had 3 assists.
Yeah, that's right.
Did not notice that at all.
Yeah.
You do in the replays, though.
That's right.
Yeah, you do.
So, can I come on, 30 more points? Because you did very well on that. Cardinal, if you're back, tell us about the fish that got away. No fish got away, but one quick fishing story. We were fishing from a point, and it was very windy, so we decided to walk around from that point along the side of the lake. And I left my jacket on the point because I just figured, I'll pick it up on the way back. And the wind, we suddenly had a very, very strong gust of wind that picked up my jacket and blew it about 250 meters down the lake. And I didn't notice this because we were 750 meters down the lake. But as we're walking back along the shore, I'm looking at this blue thing right in the water next to the shore going, that wasn't there when we got back, when we went down. Got a little closer, I'm like, that looks like my jacket.
Hmm.
That is my jacket. Fortunately, it was only about 2 feet out in the water.
Yeah.
But it had blown it right across because otherwise I would have had to go swimming to get my jacket. And now, this was Friday. On Wednesday, there was still ice on that lake. So you can imagine how cold that water was.
Yeah, you don't want to go in there.
I didn't really want to go swimming to retrieve that jacket, but I like that jacket. So I didn't have to. And so there's the fishing story, CB Inc. And CB Inc. ends his email with, Pan, you're okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. Next.
So right now, Ducks and Oilers after 2.
Yeah.
5-0 Oilers.
Whoa.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. And the Ducks are up 3-2.
They can still blow it, yeah.
Well, they can blow a 3-0 lead with 3 minutes left in the game, so. Wow. I'm impressed. I am truly, truly impressed.
I don't understand that series.
Chris Neal's playing.
No, it's been a very, very strange series. That gate, because I mean
the refereeing's been atrocious.
But it's been from the limited amounts of games I've been able to watch, it's been some games are all skating, and some games are all
stick work.
Well, Western Conference goonery is what I was going to call it. It's like, oh, well, Anaheim's playing the same way they played against Ottawa in 2007, and they're winning. Yeah. Very, you know, just okay, sure.
5 goals in the first period.
Really?
Oh, it was in the first?
Change goalie?
Yeah, they're start of the second.
Change of goalie?
I don't know. I'm looking at a score.
Okay.
But it's, wow. You got it, as great as Bobby Ryan's been, Silverberg's just been with them.
Oh my god, yeah.
Silverberg's been playing very well.
Come on, why can't we just enjoy this?
We knew Silverberg was going to be a good player.
Yeah,
I'm happy he's doing.
Luckily, Nason and whatever is
Pumple.
No, not Pumple. The pick that they used.
Whatever.
Neither one of them have turned out. Nason's in New Jersey, I think. So, anyways,
could be worse.
From Sense Cat, playoff heroics. Heroics. I pronounce it right. Hey, guys. Just wanted to get your opinions. After that absolutely unreal performance by Pajot the other day, before that happened, what would you say was the best individual performance by a senator in a playoff game?
In this year or overall?
Ever.
Ever.
Alfredson.
Well, I mean, the Alfredson goal against Buffalo was certainly
well, even that there. Game, even the games in the Stanley Cup final, he took the team on his back. Now, yeah. They didn't win the series, but he... There's a couple of times where he just took that game on his back and just made them interesting.
Yeah, I would say there's a couple of... They were replaying some of the amazing Senators' goals in the playoffs after... I think it was the double overtime win against Boston. And it was really nice to go back and listen to some of them again, like the Matt Carkner goal in double overtime against Pittsburgh.
Joe Corvo... The crazy bounce one in Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, some of them I'd completely forgotten about, but an individual performance, it's hard to go against Alfie. And I mean, just because. I mean, 1-on-4 and he scores. That, I mean, against Buffalo to get to the Stanley Cup final, that was one for the, you know, absolute lore of this team of all time. But,
and it's funny, like, to watch that now for people who didn't. Like, for example, my kids watching that, they don't understand the significance of that. It's a poor call by Bob Cole. It's not on home ice. You don't get the intensity that led to that moment.
And then right away, let's go
at that point.
Right away, let's go to the pregame for a horse race. Right after. Let's go to the pregame for a horse race. What? What?
Didn't that happen? Wasn't there something with the Kentucky Derby that happened?
It was the Preakness, actually, I think.
No, but this game on Saturday.
Oh,
I Kentucky Derby Day. Didn't they?
I was too busy celebrating some issues with that? On Saturday, so.
Whatever. I'll go on the next email.
Yeah, the next two kind of go together.
Okay, go for it.
Steven Gower, what a series. Talk about up and down. The team seems to play well at home, but couldn't muster up much of an effort in New York. Good thing no one's going there. My question to you is, do you think inserting Neil into the lineup actually did any good? He had 2 minutes and 26 seconds of ice time. I'm 100% sure he didn't see anything in the OT or third period.
Nope.
Half the second either. And I don't think he set foot on the ice after he came out of the box. If he was only played for a few shifts, did his presence on the ice really make that much of a difference? On a side note, at least the views we had of him in the penalty box were amusing enough for to make his lineup presence worth it. Wow, I can't.
Well, they'd show him cheering in the box.
Right? Yeah.
I was in there for a whole 10 minutes because of the misconduct.
Yeah.
I think he did. I mean, I didn't see the first two periods of this game. I admit this.
He clearly did.
I was going to say, I think he had a presence on the ice, but I think he also had a presence on the bench by watching the third and the way that people were playing, whether it was people who I think are kind of, I don't want to say soft, but not people who play.
Call some of these guys soft.
Okay. Not guys who finish checks and, you know, really muscle in. There's a lot of finesse players that who were just getting... Like, it was the first time I'd seen the Senators play truly in the trench. I'm going to out-muscle you.
Yeah.
Except for a couple of moments against Boston, where they did do that.
And you know what? Nice recovery. Tanner Glass was the story, a side story, but a big one, coming in after game 3 and 4. He was neutralized.
Side story or was he a detraction?
Well, whatever it was, he was a story.
It's a fourth line.
And he was neutralized.
The fourth line had 7 points in game 4.
Oscar Lindbergh.
But yeah,
Oscar Lindbergh,
good player.
Yeah, it's a young scoring forward playing on the fourth line.
So you just dropped the bomb
about
there.
That?
You just dropped the bomb there. You're gonna go to New York.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a jersey.
Solid. Well played, sir.
I will be wearing my son's t-shirt.
T-shirt?
Under a zipped up hoodie.
Oh.
Because I do not want to get killed.
No, you know what?
Are you sitting in the 300s or are you sitting down the way?
Well, it's called technically called 200s, but it is 300-ish.
Okay.
My advice to you is, and you have a hotel right across the street from the arena.
Yeah.
You can't get into Madison Square Garden until probably 90 minutes before puck drop or before start time, right? Yeah. So don't try to go there too early because you won't be able to get in. Just, you'll be okay, but just don't put your jersey on until that 90 minutes before, whenever you head over at that point, and then you just have to cross the street. You'll be fine. You won't be the only one in there.
It's an elimination game. I'm not going to risk it.
Fans.
I will
email the show.
If we are going to that game, if we have Senators fans who are going to that game, email the show at podcast@sensecollege.com.
Yeah.
Let us know you're going to be there. Well,
you'll be fine. Because you're not the kind of person that's going to talk smack.
And I did get aisle seats too.
And it, well, I was going to say, if the Senators win.
Ooh, perfect. Out.
Well, I was going to say, do you want to be out first or do you want to be out?
In LA.
I was going to say, go stand. If you get out first and things are getting ugly, just go stand next to a cop. Let everybody out, go out past you and then be out late.
The cop will hold you down.
Even New York cops are reasonable. Don't worry.
Now, I'm kind of curious, and maybe social media can chime in. What should Pan do? I'm thinking maybe he dresses up, face paint, and like he has a. Maybe not. I was thinking, you know, you got dark guy, but it'd be kind of dumb to have a pipe. It'd be too obvious. Maybe a kazoo. Just stand there with a kazoo in your mouth the whole time.
Kazoo guy?
Kazoo guy.
Well, what I originally wanted to do when
slide whistle guy.
There you go. No, that's more original.
Every time the sends good.
Well, what
actually, how are you going to keep still if something exciting happens by, you know,
I can do it.
Can you?
I can do it.
I've sat beside you at enough hockey games that you have trouble sitting still.
Why the guy?
No, I never sit still. I've burned through two chairs in 3 years at work.
The guy next to you.
How are you going to stop yelling, do something every time the goalie has a puck?
Shoot.
Oh, sorry. That's right. I'm getting your idioms confused. My apologies.
I think a slide whistle would be pretty funny, you know, if they send her score. Like,
and then where do you can buy a slide whistle
and
these
then,
days?
Dollar store. And then I can probably. Okay. That's, Long and McQuaid will have one.
$27.95.
Long and McQuaid.
Nice.
Well, it's a national store.
It's a Toronto store. All right.
I don't remember.
Okay, moving on to the next email.
You'll have a blast.
Do I get to go on my media tour after if I paint my face off? Or paint up my face?
Yes, you'll get to go to TSN and you'll get to go on the radio,
and I'll get to dump on all the Leaf fans because it's actually just companies that buy all the tickets and not real fans.
Yeah, but the companies give them to Dark Guy because Dark Guy has a section.
All right. Read Adam's email, which is about the same.
That was a Marley's, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
I think it was Marley. You want me to read the Marley's or the Rock?
You want me
the Rock?
It was a Rock.
Oh, okay, there you go.
I'd rather. I just saw the first one. I'd rather sing Captain's Corner. I'm like, yep.
Sure. This is from Adam. All right. I can understand the arguments on both sides of the Neil argument, but you can put me in the glad to see him play camp. If you can, and if you're not in that camp, listen to the post game interviews from the Sens locker room. I believe it was Turris who said that it was the best penalty he's ever seen taken.
Canned answers.
Says a lot for their state of mind and what Neil did for it. Now, does he play in Game 6 in New York? I'm sure I want to see that. Here's hoping to get lots more podcasts this season. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Adam.
Does Chris Neil play in Game 6?
It's a very good question. I think he probably will.
Yes, without having last change. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good that's a good point actually. Yeah,
without just having punch a hole, get off.
Huh? Run Ryan McDonagh a couple of times. Their captain.
Don't run him.
Oh yeah, run him. Oh yeah. Well,
I'm not mad at any of their players.
Well, no, I'm not mad at any of their players. No, I'm not. But considering some of the marginally to blatantly late hits that our captain has been taking.
It was only Tanner Glass who was throwing those.
Glass and okay, Kreider.
Then Chris Neil. Then Chris Neil can throw a couple of those against their captain. I'm all for it. Because they haven't been calling them on Tanner Glass. So, here we go.
Do you know what we need as Sens
fans?
Carlson
took an elbowing penalty instead.
So. We need a game. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to go on the record saying, and sorry, you're going to take this me being grumpy or pessimistic. I'm just being realistic. I don't think the Sens are going to win this series, but I'm so glad they're up 3-2. and they have the best possible position to do it. I think they're going to go in. I think probably they're going to lay another stinker, and then game seven is just a coin toss. So,
okay.
But I hope not. I certainly hope not. I actually would like them to go in and just win like 5-1.
Just get it over
5-1 or something like that. Just give us a cushion and stay on the cushion. Don't give it up.
Yeah, that's it.
We have not had a game like that where we've been had a lead and kept the lead.
Okay. We're up 3-0 when I watch at your place.
The two games in New York, the fans never had a moment where they ever felt the game was out of hand. They were always in the lead, and it was pretty clear that they were the dominant team.
Yeah, it'd be nice
And I've never felt that once as the Ottawa Senator fan so far this postseason. It's always been one goal games, buckle up, baby.
A quiet MSG would be something to behold. True enough.
Certainly the MSG, the Rangers fans were commenting about our arena being quiet in games one.
I didn't hear. Now, in the two games in New York, I didn't hear from my limited exposure to them, and I admit this yet again, I didn't hear a single Pont Van Sachs.
Oh, no, I heard them.
Yeah.
In fact, I heard them at the game yesterday, early on. I heard somebody whistling and Pont Van Sachs.
Really?
And you know what? Toronto fans like to point out that, oh, you guys have the younger brother complex there in Ottawa. All you do is talk about Leafs and you say Leafs suck and stuff like that.
Well, they do, but anyway.
They do. But go to New York and something that happened, what, in the 80s?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
And they're still whistling.
But it's become lore.
Pot Van sucks.
It's become lore. Like
just like we say Leafs suck.
Well, you see, I was talking to Russell about this just this week. And we were about the Pot Van sucks thing. And why is it? I mean, it's a lore. It's a legendary fandom thing.
Yeah, uh-huh. Underground's brought this up.
Why can't we continue to do the 11-11 thing just in the first period? We only need to do it once a game.
Because you can't get the people to agree whether you start at 11 or you start at 0.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, work it out. Work it out.
In the Alfie game in the first period, there was actually a time stop at 11-11.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
And no one could get it together.
Well, because people don't.
If only we had a whole section that's supposed to lead.
Yeah, okay. I'm not even getting into that. Then you could put it up on the scoreboard for the first 30 games of the season so people understand it. But like, put it up on the scoreboard before the game starts. Here are the instructions. Here are the rules. This is how you do it. Is it kind of lame? Yes. But 30 games into the season, people will start to get it. But I'd really like that if they did that, because it would be cool to do that. We don't have to do it for every period.
Yeah.
Just in the first period. Because it was legendary when we were doing that.
Yep.
And we don't really have anything else to celebrate. And it would be cool to continue to do that. Just it was something Russell and I were talking about.
It's better week. Than a Leaf suck chant.
Yeah. Well,
it's much better.
Maybe not quite as satisfying at times, but yeah.
Here on a random quasi in arena thing.
Game experience. Yeah.
This happened in round one, game two. And it's happened twice in this series where the Sens have been down, odds against them, needing a one or two goals to get back in the game, late in the game. Japan Droid's been played. Alex, our beloved DJ, probably plugging his nose, hating to do it, pushes the button and plays Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, yeah?
And they've come back every game.
Yeah. I have to admit,
for Stu,
right after the tying
goal. But he doesn't want to play that.
Yeah. Right after the tying goal. Did you notice what the first song was after the goal song?
Don't Stop Believing.
Journey. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's solid.
Those guys
very,
are
very solid.
I was really trying to retweet Alfredson, and yet it wasn't working for whatever reason.
No, he's deleted that tweet.
No, it's still there.
Which tweet?
Is it? Well, I've had trouble.
Never Stop Believing?
I've had trouble trying to retweet it, too, so.
No.
I think it's gone.
Anyway. Other people said it was still there. I don't know.
Did you guys read all the email in the show that you two did? Did you read all the email that had come in up to that point?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. We're fine.
All right. Just wanted to double check. So we're up to next. Now.
Colin?
Colin, yeah.
Let me read it.
Go for it.
Oh, God. Yep.
So I'm a Sens fan in Wainwright, Alberta, on exercise with Canadian Forces ex Maple Resolve. Game time in the afternoon is a killer as well, at least for us, not Sens. We don't really stop, so we get a chance to go to the mess hall to see the overtime. I was pretty pumped. Considering the late goal, he's on his third rattler now.
Well done, sir.
Zero goal.
Considering the late goal to be tied up by Broussard, trying to listen to the boys on TSN 1200 was scattered at best next to no service here. We were definitely in for a treat. After the excitement of seeing tourist bury it, I recall saying that the play was offside, but further explanation by the announcers cleared that up. We were all pretty pumped. Here's hoping for the follow-up in New York, and hopefully I get in time to watch it. You guys are doing a great job. Love the podcast. I'm going to throw this in here now. I might as well.
Oh, yeah.
Quick grind my gears. When guys make podcasts while watching Sens taking a brutal beating, so listening when it's released, I get to relive the agony.
I don't even remember which games it was in.
That was quite a while ago, right?
I think, yeah, I think that was the game with maybe that was maybe we Russell this year.
Oh,
we were doing Montreal. Yeah, email around the world. Yeah, very solid, John.
That
very
was a
solid.
Great episode. that was fun to listen to.
I admit freely, I have been very under the weather for several weeks. I still haven't got the map, but it is on my list of things to do.
I work right near World of Maps. You would think I would pick up the ball.
Yeah, you could. No, I was just going to go to a dollar store, but yeah. True enough. Hey, why haven't you done that? Anyway.
Wainwright, Alberta, emailed the show.
Thank you very much for that, Colin. Excellent. Good to hear.
I don't even know where Wainwright is.
Is that, what's not Cold
Lake,
this
is going to be a base thing, no.
Yeah, it's not Cold Lake. I don't know where Wainwright is, to be completely honest. It's a big country. I don't know where everything is.
Well, I just Googled it, and the first picture that comes up is a barn.
Right on. Is it a bar in a barn?
No, it is a barn.
That's too bad.
And it is a small town. I'm still zooming out to find the nearest point of reference. Oh, it is east of Edmonton. Okay.
See, it's a bar.
Close to the border.
It's a bar, but in
a barn.
But up in the valley, it's actually not a bar. It's a hotel.
Oh.
I'm going to a hotel. What? It took me about a year to think. What are you talking
stay over?
No, it's just the hotel. I just go to the hotel for a couple of drinks.
Oh. Okay.
That's just what they call them. What? Just like figure out the first time that somebody referred to, hey, you going to Swisha? I'm like,
what?
Where? Swisha.
Swisha?
No. Swisha is a rapid.
It's that music concert festival in Montreal.
Oh, the fire one? The fire festival?
Oh, no, that was the one in Bermuda, was it? That what a tire fire that was. No, Swisha is actually.
Don't spit.
No, Swisha is actually, the proper name for Swisha is Rapid de Joachim, but everybody calls it Swisha.
And what is it?
It's a town. Well, of course, that makes sense.
It's a town.
Okay.
It's across from Rolfton, near Deep River.
The Quebec towns are just the worst.
It's where I went on the snowmobiles in January. Anyway, next.
I love whenever I'm driving Quebec and I just leave my GPS on English.
You can read Chris's email.
Somebody read Chris?
I'll get it.
Okay, you get that one. I'll get Lee's.
Bonus points if you read Chris it in the Swedish monk or the chef
voice.
Both
my parents are ESL, so I'm used to it. I can adjust.
Easy now.
No, it's true.
His English is
fine.
It's
very good, but.
No, actually, his English is fine.
You don't have to keep apologizing for it, Christopher. It's fine.
Parents have been living in Canada for kids. It's my mom her whole life. But anyway, hello, guys. Christopher from Stockholm again. What an amazing game. It wasn't the best tactical way, but we came out with a W.
Amen.
Right on.
Big dub. a few thoughts a bit, though, about the game. Have in mind that I haven't seen the games that we've lost. Attaboy. Keep watching the games. We'll win.
Yeah.
You better be watching Tuesday. I don't care if it's 1 in the morning there, 2 in the morning there. Get up.
You get up and watch that game.
Why is Guy putting out Weidman? He played too much for my nerves. He's just throwing pucks around him. He's not ready for this level. Gleason shows that he has a pretty good add to this team, even in the playoffs. Ryan needs to step up again like he played against Boston. Excuse me. Craig is a roller coaster. I'm not feeling that safe with him. Though the last period, he was pretty good. And finally, Broussard gets a good game-winning goal against the Rangers. By the way, was it only me that was close to bursting to tears after 4-4 and at 5-4? I guess 4-3.
No. The tying goal and the winning goal. It's like, woohoo.
Oh, okay. Bursting into tears, I guess, is something else. All the games at home have been amazing to watch. Well, just had to say a few words. So let's go through these guys. Weidman totally deserved to get taken out of the game, or taken out of the lineup.
But he's played okay since he got back.
Not really.
I said okay.
This is not. I've seen him much, much better than this.
The problem is, I think his size is starting to be an issue in playoff hockey. In regular season, I think he's okay. But in the intensity of the playoffs, I think he's just.
Rangers are a big team.
Yeah, he's not.
Ex Matt Zuccarello, but.
Yeah, he's not a big guy.
Yeah.
But when he was out and Harper was playing in his spot, Harper's playing on his offhand. Yep. So it was an issue there. Again, that's the problem is we don't have another right.
I think the important thing, though, is that Chris needs to get up and he needs to watch that game. I don't care how early it is for him.
Yes.
So, 7, oh. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, Chris 1.
Weidman? I was going to say, no.
Christopher.
Christopher. So it would be about 1 a.m.?
Look, you've got 2 days to sleep cycle it out. It won't interfere with work, surely. You're not working the graveyard shift.
Go straight home. Go have a big long nap until about midnight. Get
3
up.
Red Bulls and you're good to go.
I was just going to say, have a big meal around midnight. Now,
is he the one that has he's opened up a coffee shop, he said?
Yeah.
So there you go. You've got the means espressos, to keep yourself there awake. You
think of all your patrons you could have there late at night with coffee. Yeah. Good point.
I love Freddie. So did you see his nice little loop around move that he did last game? That was exciting.
You know what I did see? This is unrelated to anything mentioned, but at the end, Brassard, when he came out for the second star of the game, going back, he's grabbed his Senators jersey.
Yeah, he was doing that. Like he was repping the logo. I was quite impressed.
Haven't seen that since Subban did it there.
Yeah, in our building
with his Habs logo,
which is
kind of dumb, but
totally different. Yeah, it's.
But that was kind of fun because that means he's
gotta get
happy to be here.
Put my face on that picture.
On which picture of Subban doing that?
No, of Brassard doing.
Oh.
That'll be a good one.
And I wasn't close to tears. I wasn't that emotional, but I was very pleased. I was. I'd been working on Saturday, but that's why I missed the first two games or the first two periods of the game. But I caught the third period, and I was relaxing with a beer with lime, and it was delicious. And when they scored the tying goal, I managed not to have my beer in my hand at the time. It was good, and then the overtime goal, it was a celebration as well.
Yeah, no question, Craig Anderson has to be better.
Streaky. Both goalies have been streaky.
He's showing moments of brilliance and then moments of Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah, which I'm not used to seeing him do.
No, it's uncharacteristic.
Now, can I mention something, though?
Yep, you go first.
Game 3 and Game 4, there were wandering issues. I've been quite happy with his wanderings in Game 5. He did not, like, he got it under control.
Well, I messaged Jamie about that, and I sent you guys the
a screenshot of it, yeah.
Oh, I didn't see this. Sorry.
So, and I think a lot of this is in regards to Harper playing, too.
Really inexperienced D-man.
Or not knowing the system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Harper burned him a couple of times. But Jamie McLennan ended up saying it's communication. Yeah. Cost you $3. But
yeah. Then I'll read Lee's email. Keep talking.
Yeah. So it's just communication between the team. So just to give the right instruction to Anderson when he's going back. And he said that even on the game 3 one, I think it was, that game 3 or game 4, when Harper just burned him, it was, he hesitated for a second so he couldn't get back to where the puck was.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But again, because there was no discussion in regards to what the play would be, and they should have a couple set plays.
Yeah, exactly. It just looked like he was there.
Which was a mess.
And there was just no thought as to what to do next.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Now, the other thing, because I ended up reading Nicole's blog that she updated.
Oh.
She's been in Florida with family.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Just for part of the treatment.
Okay.
So they moved it from New Jersey to Florida. So when he comes, when they play back in Ottawa, he's home alone.
Hmm. But he's normally home alone here. Like during.
No, well, he's normally always with his immediate family.
It'll be hard.
Well, this year, yes.
Yeah.
But not previously.
Now, what about Lundqvist, too? I mean, he's been shaky. It seems like you get under his skin.
Uncharacteristic.
Does he step on, come by, and say, calm down. Yeah. Calm down.
The other thing that Jay mentioned tricky. Is on blocker side, he keeps dropping his stick, which he's never done. So Jay thinks there's something wrong with him.
Well, probably everybody's playing hurt now.
Yeah.
Well,
but he's like, he's probably going to need a surgery of some sort because his.
You notice his three times he went over to the bench and did something there with his stick and blocker in the game?
I didn't notice it.
Okay. Yeah. He kept going back to get something fixed early in the game. Very early in the game.
Okay.
Something wasn't quite right equipment wise.
Well,
or it wasn't whatever.
It wasn't the Senators game. It was the other game last night where, wasn't it? Where Holt. Oh, yeah. It was Holtby who took the shot off his throat protector and basically tore it off his mask. That was scary.
Yeah.
Scary, scary moment. All right. Shall I read the last one?
Yep.
From Lee. Hi, guys. This may be an obscure complaint, but I can't take it anymore. I'm a bit of an audiophile, and I'd rather have a good 5.1 surround sound than HD picture if I had to choose between the two. It drives me insane that Rogers / CBC cannot get their audio mixing correct. The ambient crowd, the board, stick noises should come primarily through the surround speakers and announcers through the center channel only. This gives you the option of unplugging the center channel to mute Paul Bob or whoever is what or whatever clown is calling the game. Nice. The game is also more immersive when the surround audio is mixed correctly. But on CBC / Rogers, it's all Rogers. CBC is just the channel it's being shown on. All sound, including announcers, come through all three of the front speakers, and back speakers are extremely quiet, such that they may as well not even send audio to them. Well, in Game 5, that's what they did. Game 5 was only on stereo audio, except for the commercials. The commercials were all in 5.1 audio. I watched Game 3 on NBC, and it sounded amazing. They got the audio right, so I know it's not the arena microphones, my sound system, or something else causing the problem. Rogers must be the problem. Do you guys notice this? Any theories or knowledge as to what is wrong? This drives me insane. P.S. Can you please tell me who this new Pajo guy player is on the team?
Pajo,
sorry. When did we get him? Only 9 more years of this Rogers garbage.
Well, that sums it up. 9 more years of this Rogers garbage.
Garbage. I agree wholeheartedly. Well, I mean, I don't agree wholeheartedly.
I think it was game 2 when Pajo had that, you know, the 4-goal comeback.
Pajo.
And then they went to the panel after the game, and you'd think they're at a funeral.
Well,
I don't understand.
It's not as bad as last year.
It's definitely not as bad.
I'll give credit where credit's
due. I actually heard Paul Romanek call some of those goals, and he actually sounded excited.
Glenn Healy would be hating on this so much.
Well, of course. So it's nice not to have him. And I think that their panel is actually not bad, but I've said it before.
Nick Kiprios aside.
Yeah, well, it's Kiprios.
There's been a couple of times I've agreed with him. It's like, damn it.
That's hard.
Elliot Freeman is incredible.
Yep.
And so is
he's legitimate.
I like Kelly Rudy as well.
I also like Kelly Rudy.
My biggest problem with the audio is I find that there's a very annoying hum / buzz. And I know it's actually the way I hear it in NFL games
just
all
Gary
the time.
Galley.
No, it's actually something I hear in NFL games a lot. And it's some peculiar mix that they have with the in-game crowd microphones, which I don't know whether it's simply my hearing, but it gives me a really annoying buzz at a particular frequency.
Never do
that I can't get rid of. Like, I can't tune out. It's just, okay, turn that off. Turn the radio on. I just can't handle this anymore. But, yeah, thank you, Rogers. Well, this is what happens when you have a bidding war for people who are going to be carrying the games, and the people who win suddenly realize that they're not making enough money off this contract that they've signed, so they're trying to cheap out on an awful lot of it. Because, I don't know, Lee, whether you have this problem. I don't remember where Lee is. So I don't know if he's in the local broadcast area and has this issue. And you, Lee, please let us know if you have this issue with local games broadcast on TSN. Because I think I'm speaking for all three of us when we say local broadcasts on TSN are light years.
He's out in Waterloo.
Light years. Okay. So you don't get to hear
I agree with you. I think the TSN broadcast is far superior.
So much better.
Having said that, I spent a lot of time in the East Coast of Canada, and the folks in Halifax who don't care about the Senators say the exact opposite. They love the Sportsnet broadcast. They cannot stand the TSN one. I think they don't cover it right. The angles are wrong.
Really?
And I think it's almost like the Swiss Chalet versus Saint-Hubert thing. It's like, I don't get it.
Well, we could enter Scores Chicken into that just to make it interesting.
Right. KFC too, if you want. But.
Oh. No, thank you. I don't like KFC is something I try once every 5 years because for some reason.
Sticks in your system for 5 years.
For some reason, about every 5 or 6 years, I forget how disgusting I think it is. So I keep trying it. And I'm just not bright enough.
I love it cold.
Oh, God, it's even
worse.
Actually,
I agree.
It's even worse. No,
it's
terrible.
It's wonderful.
Then again, I'm not really fond of fried chicken. I much prefer roasted. So.
And these are the reasons as to why I am the way that
I like fried chicken wings, but I don't like fried chicken all that much. Yeah, I'm craving wings because I haven't had wings in so long.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Anywhere good to get wings?
I'm kind of hungry.
Wings right here on
Want to go to Eagleson. Wild Wings after this?
Eagleson.
I might be convinced.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I might just be convinced. I could go for some wings. I mean.
Yeah, I think that's a local one.
Well, it's kind of regional.
It's a chain, but.
Now, all right.
So thank you everybody for email. This has been great. We've got so much.
Before I get the eggs hatched here, what do you think is going to happen? Count your chickens before they're hatched.
Oh, I see.
I'm really bad at my analogies. Jesus. I listened to the episode that we that just panned.
Before we count our chickens,
before we count our chickens, and I said something about I meant to say. You know, things aren't dire right now, but I said things are not Dire Straits right now. So any of you country music fans out there?
Country? Nice...
It's not country.
Oh, shoot. It's not even country.
It's not even country.
Money for Nothing? Is that the guy?
Well, that's
this is like 90s.
Sultans of Swing.
There we go. In Arms. That's it. Anyway.
Heavy Fuel.
I've been known to throw extra words in there once in a while.
Yeah.
What do you think? The sends the rest of the series.
By the way, Dire Straits.
I freaking hope they win because I'm just dropping 2G on this damn trip.
I hope they do too.
Dire Straits best concert audio I've ever heard.
Yeah?
Ever heard. Wow. And I've been to, I lost count after 400 concerts. So, yeah, best concert audio I've ever heard. What are they going to do tomorrow or Tuesday?
Do you think they're going to win the series?
Do I think they're going
to
win the series?
Obviously, we all want them to. That goes without saying.
I think they can. Do I think they will? I think it's a coin flip. Either team can win it, and either there's really not a lot to choose between them. It's been an interesting series because it's not been a blowout series. Like it's not,
except for the New York games.
Yeah, no, it's a 50-50 chance, right? You win it or you don't.
Exactly.
I think the winner of tomorrow's game wins the series. Terrible. Sorry, Tuesday wins the series.
Well, yes, because if it's.
No, but then that also says it.
So you think they would lose? You think Ottawa would lose a game seven here in Ottawa on whatever Thursday?
Having said that, this Sens team is not like Sens teams of the past, and it's been pointed out several times.
They're quite resilient.
We've never gone up 2-0 only once before. It was that Buffalo year, the Cup run. We went up 2-0, and then you pointed out. Ian's pretty good at pointing out these obscure stats. You know, anytime the Sens have lost two playoff games in a row, they've never won the series. And sure enough, we came back from two losses in a row.
Never been
won
resilient.
A game. So, game seven heritage?
I don't know.
Be nice to see.
I still think this is a home game series.
Well, it's proven to be.
Yeah.
Proven to be. But sometimes you got to flip the script. Insert your coach cliche here.
Thanks, coach. Yeah. Everybody's got to give 110% and be pulling, everybody's got to be, playing on the same team and working in the same direction and pulling on the same oar and whatever.
Pucks in deep.
Yeah. Gotta be first on puck.
Well, here's where I'm going with this.
I'll be first on puck.
I'm not trying to jinx it.
First in deep.
Wait. If the Senators were able to advance and make it to round three, I do believe they will get swept in three games by Pittsburgh. Which is why I know a lot about people on social media. They don't seem to like Ovechkin, and whatever your reasons are, that's fine. But you,
because he's Russian.
You should go and cheer for that team, even though they're down, they're against the odds. Pens are probably going to win that because the Senators will not stand a chance against Pittsburgh. Oh, no. Having said that, I thought that when they faced Buffalo back in 2007. I thought
2007.
Yeah, that works.
Sure.
I think it's around the teens.
2K7.
2K7. That's like a video game.
Not a video game,
man. So 2007, when they faced the Buffalo Sabres, I thought, not a chance. That team's too stacked.
Yeah, it was. I mean, when you look back at that team,
it's three full amazing lines.
Yeah.
Honestly, if we get through it, and hopefully we'll be able to come back before the next series.
We'll see.
It should be other. I hope to hell that we win this.
I am going away next weekend. I'll tell you that now.
Well, he's gone for.
Well, I'm away for work. I mean, but there's ways
I'll be gone Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Well, I'm leaving Friday.
Fishing?
Yeah. Well.
Where are you Thursday?
Are you
back? No.
Depends if there's game seven or not. But no, I'm not.
I may be fishing. I may be sandbagging, actually. Depends.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's a lot of that going around.
Where?
Up the line.
Oh, right.
There's a little flooding thing going on right now.
Yeah, that's really bad. But,
we'll see.
Maybe Thursday.
Let's see. Oh,
maybe
Thursday. Thursday would be, depends on what time we would be able to start.
I really don't want.
Because I've got
hopefully it ends on Tuesday.
Yeah, because I've got a really busy day on Thursday and a really early start.
I really don't want Pittsburgh to advance, although they're poised to.
Yeah.
Because of their firepower. And listen, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, the reason I don't want them to advance is because you've won the Cup twice.
I'm bored of Pittsburgh, to be honest.
And you know what? If Ottawa was in this position, we won the Cup a couple of times, and you said, I don't want Ottawa to advance because you've already won a couple of times, I'd get it. I wouldn't be, I would disagree with you, but I get it. But the problem was Pittsburgh, they're just too dominant the Stanley Cup champions. I'd like to see somebody else do it.
That's why I'm really happy Nashville got through. It's like, okay, it's somebody different.
I know.
It's somebody different.
And I was fine with the Blues going ahead, but I know you got a issue there. But still. But so yeah, absolutely. The fact that it's Nashville and then Edmonton. I'd be fine if it was Edmonton.
If Edmonton can get through,
the Ducks have been there before, so there's that thought.
And Edmonton, Nashville could be a really entertaining series. Really entertaining series.
Yeah.
And now, Pittsburgh, Ottawa, selfishly,
Nashville destroyed us the two games that we played them this year.
Yeah, but those were also, one of them was the first game of the season when we were still losing, still learning hashtag the system.
No, it wasn't the first.
It was very early.
I don't think so.
It was very early in the season.
Was it? Oh, maybe. But even at that, they're a really good team. Anaheim, we haven't won against in 2 years.
Didn't we?
Nope.
Nope.
Oh, no, that's right.
Everyone else we did.
The sweep of California was... that was 2 years. Thwarted. Wasn't that 2 years ago? The beginning of the hamburger run.
So that was 3 years ago.
Is that 3 years ago?
Yeah. All I know is the two games you and I saw.
This season's essentially done. So this season.
Okay, so
and
it's
last
two.
Season.
It's 2 years ago. Like this season, last season, season before.
Yeah.
The hamburger run was the season before.
Three regular seasons.
Okay. But only two hockey seasons ago. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Grinds your gears?
I don't. Well, I don't really have anything.
Okay, I'll just throw out a quick one here. To the 40 people that voted on my poll for me not to go to Manhattan.
Are you happy you're going? You are. This is the.
Do you understand the term of cognitive dissonance?
Cognitive dissonance.
No, it's too late for me to understand that right now.
Buyer's remorse.
Buyer's remorse.
Well, kind of. Yeah, that's not bad.
The thing is, and as we've learned and mentioned before, mm-hmm. don't just go for the game.
Right.
So I'm looking to pick a ticket to Phantom tomorrow.
Phantom,
that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of Broadway shows.
On Broadway, yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Phantom before?
I have.
As a live production?
In Toronto, too, with, I forget the guy's name, but this was
Colm Farrell or something like that.
Yeah.
No,
it was excellent.
Anyway.
Yeah. Again, I haven't seen it since last millennia.
Right.
And it's Broadway.
Yeah.
There's
so many shows to do.
There's so much, whatever you want to do, the options are there in New York. It'd be a fun atmosphere. I was quite jealous for you. I was trying to think of a way I could do it, too, but I got to be in Halifax Wednesday, so... And that'd at a certain time, and it's too hard to get there.
Yeah, it'd be difficult.
Let alone, I mean, the U.S. dollar is just,
It's a little expensive.
It's a little expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, get a couple extra.
It was expensive enough to go to that game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I splurged and got some good seats, and I don't regret it.
I broke my political boycott, so save up your pennies, because we're going to Vegas, baby.
You broke your boycott, that's right.
Political
boycott. Trying to avoid going to the U.S.
to the U.S. I'm like, what are you talking about? Gotcha.
And both Nevada and New York are Democratic states. So
I would love to see an Ottawa Washington round three.
Oh, it'd be fun. It would be entertaining because that would be
a much better series to watch.
We also played very well against. Exactly. No, we didn't always win, but we played very well against Washington.
If you're an Ovechkin hater, cheer for him to win two miraculous games, and then you can go back to cheering against
them. I was going
to
say, and as soon as he arrives in Ottawa for round three, you can shout Nikultuni at him.
Sure. Mm. I don't know my Russian, but I'm going to assume that's something bad and not like the Russian word for slushy.
It means uncultured, and it's a very insulting thing to say to a Russian. It's not as bad as the other one, which I won't say, which is the worst thing you can say to a Russian, which you should probably have a gun in your hand while you're saying it.
You're out of vodka?
No, it has to do with your mother.
Your mother's out of vodka?
No. My Russian pronunciation is very bad. We'd
better get going before the kitchen closes here.
Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway, so, folks, email us with your thoughts about what's gone on for Game 6 or maybe Game 7 if there is a Game 7. And we'll be recording. Again, we don't know when we're going to record.
We'll either be in Round 3 or we'll be eliminated.
Season wrap-up.
Yeah, season wrap-up.
By the next time
Ian Mendez.
Then we... Well, and if we're... Yeah.
You got to tell him about
it. Then we better make sure that we're all in the same room for that. I don't want to do that as a Skype episode.
Yeah, no. But we'll have time to.
But if we do win Game 6 and we do a Skype episode this week, then we may be back. I hope so. We don't know.
But no, you know what's going to happen? We're going to lose Game 6 and then win Game 7 just because the fate has it that I have to spend even more money on.
Well, because Ian's called for a sense in 7. That's why. Mm. And then we'll have Ian on.
Damn it, Ian.
just keep burning my money here.
That's right. All right. So email us at podcast@sensecallups.com.
And I know we've got a couple listeners in the New York area.
Let us know.
Throw me out some recommendations because I'm staying at a hotel right by MSG.
For food. Recommendations for food.
Food.
Good pie. Good whatever. Pie. And sorry. That's my word for pizza.
I'm trying to figure out how to get to the Statue of Liberty.
You have to go down to Battery Park.
Yeah, I got to take a ferry at Battery Park.
Yeah. Okay.
Local reference. Honk, honk. Yeah, you jackass.
You can take the subway down to down there if you want, or you can take
care. Yeah, I'm right at Penn Station.
Yeah, so. It'll be pretty easy. I actually went to the Statue of Liberty many years ago.
I just got robbed from everything.
But I didn't know. I didn't actually get up the statue. I didn't have enough time.
I didn't go up the statue.
I only got to the top of the pedestal, unfortunately.
Actually, I thought Ellis Island with the audio tour was pretty amazing.
But when I was much younger, I was in New York when I was still, not a child, I guess a teenager. I actually went to the top of the World Trade Center, which was cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it was. It was phenomenal.
No, when we went in the early 90s.
Have you been there since the memorials?
No.
See, that's
worth going.
I've heard that actually.
Worth going. That. It's neat.
That's true.
And it's all changed.
I did not think of that.
Yeah.
All changed.
But no, because when we went in the, I think the early 90s, my mom didn't want to go up the World Trade Center.
Okay.
Because it already had that, the little bomb.
The little bomb, that'd be about 96, 95.
Yeah, I can't remember when.
In the parking garage.
And she's like, no, I don't want to go up there because you can get bombed again. It's like, Mom, come on.
Yeah, well,
oh,
soak in an airport, soak in whenever else. So, yeah.
Man, you should see the inventory in the basement whenever there's a war.
Yeah. The USS Intrepid.
Y2K, she was filling the bathtubs with water.
Wow.
I've never been quite that. I've done that, but not for Y2K. But did that one.
Then she returned everything. The store is really bad.
Yeah.
That's the funny part is the returning.
Yeah. Return stuff. All right, so email us at podcast@sensecallups.com or leave us an email at 1-844-SCU-6565. And we'll be back whenever we get back. The way that this is the playoffs, we don't know what's going on. So we'll be back whenever we manage to get together again, whether it's season end or we're on to the next series or whatever.
Who knows?
Exactly. Until then, I'm Cardinal on behalf of Pan and Canuck. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for sending email or sending us voicemail. We'll be back sometime soon. Until then, good night.
Go Sens, go.
This is Chris Neal. This is Chris Neal when you don't get your car serviced at Oil Changers. This is Chris Neal when you receive fast, friendly service in 9 minutes or less.
You'll be smiling as you're driving away.